It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to know which way we are going. And Brother Thanopoulos, what is the title of the sermon tonight?
Which way is the right way?
Which way is the right way? Which way is the right way? And I believe that as we think about which way being the right way, there is a way in which we should go. Only one way, Jesus says in the book of John, chapter 14 and the verse 6. John 14 and the verse is 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. When we sing a hymn saying, I am on that way, are we truly, truly singing it with conviction, understanding that He is the only way? So as we think about that, let's again look at the title, Which Way is the Right Way? Which way is the right way? In the book of Proverbs, the chapters 22 and the verses 6. Proverbs chapter 22 and the verse is 6. There are many of us that have trained our children, raised our children. Our children are grown. They make choices. They have decisions that they have to make. Some make the right choices, some make the wrong choices. The decisions are the same. But as long as we do what we're supposed to, as Solomon writes here, we've done our part. We've done what God has required of us. We continue to teach them. We continue to train them. We continue to pray for them. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when it's old, he will not depart from it. He will not depart from it. We may think that some of our children have forgotten the path, forgotten the way that they have been taught. And only time will tell whether or not they come back to the Lord. Only time will tell if they will stay in the Lord. Again, we must do our part. We must continue to pray for them. We must continue to encourage them. There are times where we may say some things to our children that we may regret later on. A harsh word sometimes that we speak. Maybe the last time we see our children. Let's make sure that we're doing what's right as fathers. Make sure that we're doing what's right as mothers. That we're continuing to look at the Bible examples. To continue to look at the scriptures. The letters that Paul wrote to the different churches. How we as individuals need to conduct ourselves around our children. You know the old saying that it takes a village to raise a child. Well, in many cases, when you look in Scripture, the Scripture is pointing to you, not to a whole village, to raise your children. Yes, this is a great help when your child gets home and you've already received that phone call from a block or two down the road that, hey, Junior did this, or hey, Sally did that, and we took care of the matter, but I know when they get home, you want to take care of it as well. It's good to get those type of messages. But the Bible puts discipline back in the home. It puts training back in the home. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Paul writes to the church of Ephesus here, and he's stressing the importance of what children are supposed to do, what their attitude is supposed to be, and also it tells what the father's responsibility is as well. Ephesians chapter 6 in the verses 4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath or to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, teaching them God's way, teaching them how to be obedient, teaching them how to follow instructions, teaching them how to get out there in the world and to make a living for themselves, teaching them how to conduct themselves when they're in the presence of God as we come here on this evening to serve Him. These things are so important. We cannot, again, push our responsibilities off on anyone else, but we need to stress the importance to our children about which is the right way. You want to be out there in the world, you want to do what your friends do, the best place to do that is outside of our home. That's what we tell them. And it's not that we're trying to get rid of them, but I guess when we tell them these things, it's because we know now that two grown people cannot live in the same house if it's not husband and wife. A lot of times, those grown children, they want to do what they want to do. But we have to still teach them according to God's word. What is this all about? What am I trying to get us to realize today? That there is a place much better, whole lot better than this world. And that place is called heaven. I mentioned this morning about a crown of life. That's what we need to stress to our children about the crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive a crown of life. Well, how are they going to get there? Which is the right way? Which road do I take? Which direction do I go? We need direction. We need someone to tell us these things. Well, we're going to look at several scriptures that are going to talk about the direction in which people go. It could be the right direction, could be the wrong direction. The choice is there. It is laid out. Many times when you see a crowd running and you always want to, be that nosy one, say, I wonder what's going on. Let me go down there and see too. A lot of times when we see that crowd running, we need to just go in our house and close our doors and mind our own business. I tell you that, but yet I'm guilty. I want to know what's going on. I see the sirens down there going, just flashing. I don't hear them, but I just see them flashing. And then they detour me off right before I get there. And I say, oh, man, I should have went another direction so I could have got a closer look. That's just me. That's the nosiness in me. Which way do we go? A lot of times we need to know that we need to turn around and go back in the opposite direction. You don't want to see what's going on down there. When they tell you that, you really want to see it. So many times our children do not understand right from wrong, or they don't understand the depth of those wrong things out there, and we try to explain it to them. You know what happens? They want to go out there and experience it for themselves. I don't believe mom and dad. I don't think that they told me the truth. I don't think that it's all that bad. So I want to go down that road, and I want to see, is it really as bad as they say it is? I've been through that. You don't want to go there. Just learn from me, listen to me, that is not the road you want to go down. But what do? They go right down that road, and some of them never, ever return. It's a sad thing. It's a sad thing when you listen to your children or you listen to some young people, and they're so excited because now this young lady is pregnant with child, and you hear this young man over here bragging, oh, I got a baby on the way, but yet they have no idea what it's going to entail. They have no idea what they have done because no one has really sat down with them and explained to them that this is wrong because you're not married. You should not be engaged in sexual activities. But yet they think that's the right road to go down because all their friends are going down that road. It's sad. So what we need to understand is we need to teach them the scriptures the wrong way to go. And we look at the scriptures and we find that there are many people that have gone down those same roads before, but yet they have come away from those things. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verses 9. Why do we tell them not to participate in those sexual acts? Why do we tell them not to participate in going out and hanging out with those thieves? Why do we tell them not to hang out with those people that are on the corner drinking? Why do we tell them those things? We tell them those things because it is the wrong way. Or do you not know here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither sexual immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Do you not know that? But look what Paul says. Paul says the same thing that many of us say. You know, I've been down that road. I've done those things. And he said, and such were some of you. But you were washed and you were sanctified and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. We learned better, so therefore we have done better. And we continue to do better. And we continue to stress and impart to our children what they need to do. You know, it's when we look at these things that our children are doing, and we wonder sometime, or are they going to ever wake up? You know what we need to think about? We need to think about our parents when we were doing those things, and they were saying the same thing. Are they going to ever wake up? Some of us have. We're awakened, and we're ready. We done hit the floor running. We're doing what we're supposed to do. And there are others. He said, man, I know good and well, he is 50 years old. He is still doing the same thing that we did when we was kids. Is he going to ever wake up? Now we're saying that about our friends. Which is the right way? Oh, it was good enough for him, so it's good enough for me. If it's not God's way, it's not good enough for anybody. Oh, yeah, they're doing it. Oh, man, look how old he lived, but yet he never obeyed the gospel. So it doesn't matter how old he lived, it's how he lived. We need to consider those things. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, just because everybody else is doing it does not make it right. We need to think about that, and we need to always stress the importance of our children. Just because your friend is doing it doesn't mean that you're going to do it. That's what they do over there in that house. That's not going to happen in this house. So when we look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, he says, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Hard that leads to life. Mom, it's so much easier for me to do it like this because everybody else is doing it. Oh, mama, you know, everybody else has these type of clothes. Oh, mama, everybody else is doing that. Oh, daddy, come on now. I know you're going to let me go out with the fellas this weekend. Everybody else is going out with them. No. We're going to do the right thing. We're going to make the right choices. We're going to stress the importance of following the right way in this house. That's what parents need to understand. It is not for the child to raise the parent. It's for the parent to raise the child. We've gotten it backwards. This is today's society because we want to be friends with our children. No, we need to be parents to our children. We need to teach them the right things. And I'm saying this, my two boys are grown, but I have grandchildren coming up, and I want to be able to teach them the right things. I want to be able to show them in the scripture. And then when they come up to me and say, well, mom and daddy don't let me, mom and dad don't make me do this, or mom and dad don't make me do that. And then you know what? It's my responsibility to say, your mom and daddy are wrong. And show them in scripture. And then when they go back home and say, hey, mom and daddy, Papa Spencer said you are wrong. And then they're not going to call me. I'm just going to put this in here, okay, just for emphasis' sake. When they call me up and say, why'd you tell my child that? Because I'm supposed to teach your children the right things because you're not doing it. We need to understand the importance of looking at God's word and teaching the truth. In 2 Peter chapter 2, looking at verse 1 and 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. But false prophets arose among the people, just as there would be false teachers among you, and would secretly bring in destruction, heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. False teachers, people that are teaching them, this is the way you can go, but yet they have no direction from God's word that's the right way. What do we do? How do we know this? Because we open up the scriptures and we see what God has said and we see what the people are doing and we realize that the people are wrong and God is always right. Open up the word. Which way is the right way? We can all say that it's God's way. You know, we say that sometime again. It's either my way or the highway. What about God's way? You know, it's a highway to heaven. You know, that's an old song that we used to sing. It's a highway to heaven. None can get up there but the pure in heart. And you know, that is so true. No one is going to be able to get to heaven but the pure in heart. Those that have done what God told them to do according to his word. Remember the scripture once again there from the book of John, chapter 14, verse 15. If you do what? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do those things. That's what love will make you do. You know, love is just not a word that people speak and say, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Love is an action word. You have to show that you love God. You have to show that you love Christ. You have to show that you love the Spirit being in your life by doing what you find in Scripture. Sticking with the Word of God. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, we have to understand that the right way to go is to have faith in God's word and continue to live according to it and not according to our own direction. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. See, we would hope that all our children would take this attitude right here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting with verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Stick with it. Open your Bibles. Know the direction you're supposed to go. Spend time alone with God. Sit down with your children and teach them the right way. Pray with them. Teach them that when they get out there in the world all by themselves, that they really are never alone because God is always with them. He will never, ever forsake them. Always there with them. Again, Paul writes to Timothy, he stresses the importance to continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. See, we can teach our children all sorts of things, and they can say, you know, I've learned what my mom and dad taught me, but I never did believe it. Paul is saying about Timothy here, or to Timothy here, you believed what you were taught. Your mother and your grandmother, they taught you the sacred writings, and you learned those things, you believed those things. Now you're living those things. He said, continue in what you have learned. Not start. He said, continue in what you have learned. And that's what we need to tell our children. You need to continue to live faithfully. If they have stopped, we need to say, hey, you need to come back to the fold. You need to repent and you need to do the things that are right and then continue in those things. Teach your children. Mom and dad, again, grandmother say, oh, you just wait till you have children. See how they're going to treat you. See, a lot of the things that we did when we were children is coming back on us now. That's okay. Because we're God-fearing people now. We can handle it. We know what we're supposed to do because we go to the Word. See, mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, uncles and aunts, they didn't really understand the importance of discipline. Well, they did because they really put it on us, but they never did really go to the Word and say, hey, this is why I'm doing this. But yet, this is what we do. We go to the Word and we show our children, this is why I'm doing it. Again, I remember discipline Tim and Chris, and I used to tell them, I asked them a question. I don't even know why I asked them. It didn't really matter. I said, do you think I should whip you? And we already knew what the answer was going to be. No, Daddy, I don't think so. I said, well, I don't want to be like Eli, so I'm going to go ahead and put something on you anyway. I know talking is not going to do you good, so I'm just going to go ahead and put it on you anyway. You know, we go back and we look at that, and then they will come back and throw that up in our faces. You know, say, I'm not going to do my kids like you did us. I'm not going to whip my kids. Okay, that's fine. Don't. But when your kids start being rebellious, then you're going to say, man, I should do what Daddy did to me. But a lot of times we wait too late. Let's start teaching our children at a very early age. You know, that's what, you know, oh, I want my child to be smart. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read to them in the womb. Why are they reading to them in the womb? What you reading to them? You need to be reading this to them. Read them God's word. And when they come out of that womb and they're laying in that cradle or in that crib or you're holding them, rocking them, sing hymns to them, read scripture to them. Tell them how much you love them. And as they continue to get older and you continue to embrace them, continue to tell them how much you love them and show them the importance of staying in God's word. That's why when our children go to our classrooms, they don't go to the classrooms here to learn how to play. They go in the classroom to learn about God's word. We need to be doing the same thing in our homes. Teaching our children the word of God. You can continue there with verse 16. It says, all scriptures breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Teaching our children, guess what? It is a good work. And we need to teach our children according to the word exactly what they need to do that God may be pleased with them. Then we go to the book of John. Or let's go ahead and go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Looking at verse 7 and 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness of value is in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Godliness. See, you can exercise all you want to in the life to come. It's not going to do you any good. Oh, yeah, in this life, it's going to make you look good. It's going to make you feel good. But what about being in the Word of God, exercising your minds to learning what God wants you to do, the direction in which He wants you to go, and you go down that way? And others are looking at what you're doing, and now that you're a child of God, others are looking at you and they're saying, man, I want to be like that person over there. He could be the biggest man around, or he could be the smallest man around, and same with the women, the smallest woman or the healthiest woman, because all have been working out or they have not been doing anything at all, but they're not looking at how you look. They're looking at what you're doing. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what Jesus teaches up on the Sermon on the Mount. And if we do those things, we can rest assured that it's this godliness that we're doing, this godly exercise that we're doing, that's allowing people to look at us and say, that is who I want to be like, because I know that that person is being like Christ. Let's teach our children which way is the right way. Again, we can all agree that it's God's way. It is God's way. No other way but God's way. But what do we do? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll start with verse 50. Work our way down to the end of the chapter. You're on your job and you're working hard. A man comes by and he says, you know, you told me you had skills. I didn't really believe you. But I see now that you do, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a promotion. Gives you a promotion, along with that promotion comes a raise. Oh man, you're excited. You go in there and you work harder. Comes through another 3 or 4 months down the road and say, hey, we have another position open over here, and it's, you know, it's a little bit harder, but you know what? I think that you are fit for it. I think you'll be a good match for it, and I want you to move over here. Are you willing to accept? Well, you know, you got a promotion the last time, you got a raise. Now, you didn't ask about the raise the last time. You were just excited about the promotion, but now you want to know about the raise. How much money am I going to get if I move over there? Oh, they say, well, this comes with a $2 or $3 raise. $2 or $3, which is it? It's $2 or $3. Okay, it's $2.50. I accept, and you move over there. You're excited. You're doing that work, and you're really working hard at it, and now he comes through again and say, you know, I'm getting ready to retire. How would you like to have my job? Wow. Your job is to walk around and make sure everybody's doing their job. I think it's a very good job. You know what I want? I want your job. How much money does it cost? How much money does it make? X amount of dollars, but you may not get that much right away because you don't have as much experience as I do as walking around making sure everybody else is doing their job. That's okay. I'll get there sooner or later. You accept. What are you doing? You're moving up. You're moving up. That's the world out there. But what about in God's word? What are you doing? Or are you satisfied with just sitting there on the pew? Or are you satisfied with just standing at the back door? That's an important job now. Brother Brown and the rest that sit back there or stand back there, that's an important job, because sometimes we have people come in that, you know, we do not, you know, look at people and say, oh man, that's a shady looking character. We don't do that. But sometimes people show that they're shady. So what we have to do, we have to check on them. You know, I remember during the gospel meeting, a couple of elders had to go back there and assist Brother Brown. Brother Brown needed some help. That's the shepherds looking after the flock, and they did a good job. You know, everybody can't be an elder. Why? Because there's some qualification that has to be met.
those men have met the qualifications. You know what they did? They moved up. First they became a member, then they did this, then they did that. As they continue to grow, not saying that there's a you know, from a member, just, you know, you have to say, well, now I'm a this and I'm a that or that or the other. You can go from a member to an elder. It's looking at God's word and meeting those qualifications. But let's look here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. You see that there is progress in what goes on. We live, we die, we're changed. We're getting ready to go into heaven. Many people are not going to get there because they have not lived their lives the way that God would expect them to or wanted them to. He says in verse 53, for the perishable body must put on the imperishable, and the mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Oh, not just sitting back saying, well, I'm retired. I'm not going to do anything. Let someone else do it. Let those young people do it. It's not a young or old thing. It's a Christian thing. And we all need to be moving forward in our Christian journey. Why? Because we're still living right now. We still have some things to do. There's a place where we're all trying to get to. And that place is called heaven. And no one is going to get there before anybody else. Let's do what we're supposed to. There's work that need to be done. Acts chapter 16 and the verse is 17. Acts chapter 16 and the verse is 17. There's somebody along the way that's been teaching God's word. Someone has been listening to what has been being said, and someone is curious about more about God's word, and they're inquiring, will you please stop and tell me about God's word? Will you tell me about salvation? Verse 16 here in Acts chapter 16, then we come down. As we are going to a place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. They're proclaiming it to you, the way of salvation. And there she is, following them around and saying these things. And it says there, and as she kept doing for many days, not just for one day, but for many days. Paul, having been greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. I want you to look at what happens. Came out that very hour. But when her owner saw that there was hope of gain, that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And they had brought them to the magistrates. They said, these men are Jews and they are disturbing our city. They are disturbing our city because they are teaching the way of salvation. They have caused this evil to come out of this girl. Now she cannot get them any more money by fortune telling. But they disturbing the city. You know what we need? We need some saints to be disturbing the city of Louisville. Teaching about salvation. Teaching people that their way is the wrong way. Which way is the right way? It is God's way. Jesus is the way. This book helps us in the way. We need to do what's right because there is a crown that awaits each one of us if we would only live a life that is pleasing unto God. In the book of James chapter 1 and the verses 12. James chapter 1 and the verses 12. We're gonna go through some things. It's not a highway that's just smooth all the way. There's gonna be some bumps in the road. There's gonna be some potholes. Around here in the city of Louisville, you hit a pothole and you don't like that pothole. Instead of talking about how big that pothole is, pick up your phone, call 311. They'll connect you to the right people. Tell them where that pothole is, and hopefully within 2 or 3 days, they'll come and fill it in. But you know what we have to do as Christians? We have to endure some potholes. We have to endure some bumps in the road. We don't need to take too many detours. We need to stay on the road. We need to ask God, give me a strength in order to get out of this hole. Give me strength in order to get over that bump. Lord, give me the strength. But it says in verse 12 of James chapter 1, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. How did we start? We start with scripture reading. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Who's going to get a crown of life? Those that love him. There's a whole lot in between there, isn't it? A whole lot that we need to do and that we need to continue to do in order to die pleasing to God, in order to receive this crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Do you love him? Do you love him enough to keep his word? Do you love him enough to train your children in a manner that God is pleased with? Do you love him enough in order to encourage your children to do what's right, to not only teach your children, but also teach your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? Do you love him enough, and if you so live, to see your great-great-grandchildren, to be able to teach them? You know, people come to the older folks and they say, hey, tell me something that happened in your day. Oh, let me teach some history, baby. No, let me give you some Bible. This is what happened in my day. I heard the gospel being proclaimed, and I got up and I confessed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, had my sins remitted in the watery grave of baptism, came out of that grave to walk a newness of life. Have you ever heard anybody tell that history to their grandkids? Things that happened in your day? If not, why not? Oh, we want to know about the slavery days. No, let's know about being a servant to God. Let's teach them God's way. It's not a white thing, not a black thing. It's a God thing. We need to teach them the truth. Teach them that there are going to be some ups. There are going to be some downs. But a lot of things that happen in our lives is because of what we are doing. Let's look at God's word and learn what thus said the Lord. Maybe you're here this evening and you have not submitted unto the word of God. You love him, but yet you're not showing your love toward him. You're just holding it in. Quit holding it in and come today, come this evening to make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have your sins washed away. Come out, coming out of that watery grave to walk a newness of life. Why not tonight? Why not? Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. We're asking you to come back as well. It is nothing to be ashamed of. If you do not own him, he will not own you. I want you to remember that. Because there are some parents along the way sometimes, they say, that's not my child. But I want you to know that God will never disown you. We're the ones that separate away from him. He's waiting for us to come back home. He's always there. Yeah, that's my child. I know he's in error. I know that one day he will wake up before it's everlasting too late. That is his hope. That men everywhere might be saved. That should be our prayer today as well. That our children would get their lives in order. That our friends would realize and understand that there is but one God and there's only one way. If you're here and you're subject to an invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.